I'm feeling filled. How about you? Thank you, Amy. Thank you so much. Good morning and happy Mother's Day.
Good morning.
A short 2 weeks into my first official job as a minister, the international organization had scheduled a convention on a cruise ship in the Bahamas in February. I went. It was a wonderful experience for me. It was so exciting. I got to give a report on the state of the church that I had taken as a licensed minister and be recognized at the international level. Got to see many old friends from Southern California churches that I knew, and most of my friends that I had gone through ministerial school with, some 7 and 8 years. The convention was jam-packed, full of wonderful presentations and wonderful things to do, and it was just a wonderful experience. The last day, I was sitting in my assigned location waiting to debark. Those of you that have taken cruises know that can be a long procedure. You usually have to wait for a while, and they take you in groups in order to put you through customs and check you off the ship and all that stuff that needs to be done. I was sitting there with my friend Rainbow Johnson, who's also a minister. Many of you may have heard of her. She's quite a character. And Rainbow noticed that I was sneezing, and I owned up to the fact that I was feeling like I was coming down with a cold. Metaphysically, colds or congestion is about mental congestion, and that certainly fit with where I was after all I had experienced in only 2 weeks into the ministry and going back home to my new job, and Easter was coming up, and wow. And Rainbow did a mother thing. She sat down with me and she prayed. And she prayed me into harmony and a relaxation and a place where that every symptom of that cold just flew out the window, and I never did get a cold. That's a mother thing. There was no trying to fix me, no trying to give me advice. She was just there loving me and knowing that I was created out of love by an impetus for creating love. And that is the most healing energy in the world. Mother love, unconditional, non-judgmental, perfect love. And that's what we're honoring this morning. We're honoring all of you mothers who have biologically given birth, and yes, there is usually something where there's a jump shot, if you will, for mothers when they birth into a new level of loving. And yet, at the same time, we all have it. All of us females have it, all of you males have it within you, for we are all facets of the one God. And the main, probably the most popular synonym that we use for God is love, for very good reason. So, as we look at this Mother God and Father God love today, let us consider a few things. There is the feminine love. There is the masculine love. So when we say Mother God, Father God, it's absolutely appropriate and right, and yet God is more. than this. And I suggest to you that the best word we have for it, which doesn't get there, but it's the best word we have, is oneness. There is something that happens when the masculine and the feminine, the unconditional loving and at the same time the one-pointed, disciplined energy come together, they create something more than both of them. And this oneness is something we may have a little bit of a mental understanding of. I don't think any of us have any knowing of what it is and what we're moving toward as a human species. When you think about it, it's only been 50 years since women have been freed to make choices, basically, about having children and raising children. And so in the past, most women who have this incredible energy of creativity and support and unconditional love used up most of their lifetime, if not all, giving birth and raising children. There was not time or a way for us to express beyond that. The life expectancy wasn't as long as it is today. So understandably, our culture has swung to a point and is starting to swing back again, where the masculine principles were valued way above the feminine ones. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You all know this. But we are swinging back. And that's the important thing. When we find that balance, then the oneness will start to show up because we'll be in balance. So we are here on this earth, in this lifetime, at this time, at a very special time. This shift is happening through us. Now, the mother energy that we are celebrating this morning is one of creativity. The mother conceives an idea and then brings it to fruition out of its own body, whether we're talking about a human mother or the divine mother. We are created out of the body of God. We are conceived by God. This is an incredible energy to put to use in more ways, not more important ways, but more ways than birthing and raising children. Ernest Holmes called this energy at one point the Great Mother Soul. The energy of the Divine Mother is the same energy we call soul. We don't even use that word very much anymore. Sometimes might say that someone sings with soul. Amy certainly does. Yes. We all know. We have a gleaning of what it is, but it has not been recognized very much in our culture for a long time. And we can help bring this balance of harmony back by recognizing the importance of this feminine energy that we call soul. Jean Houston calls us evolutionaries, and Barbara Marx Hubbard, I think, is actually the one that first coined that term. They're saying that we are at a place in our evolution where we, for the first time, are conscious that we are evolving. And because we're conscious of our evolution, we can choose how it takes place. We can choose what we evolve into. Now, all of life, grows in spurts. It's not a solid line upward, this thing we call evolution. There are spurts, and then sometimes even a little drop back, and then another spurt. It's jump time in Jean Houston's vocabulary. It's jump time on Earth right now for us humans. Someone asked the Dalai Lama fairly recently if he really thought that we were getting better. Were we really evolving in the right direction toward better? And he said, absolutely we are. Just look at history. Look at back at the terrible things we used to do to each other. In the name of our country, our clan, our religion, our God, our money, our property, our slaves. We have and are moving in the right direction. Several of us are lucky enough to be getting to go see the Dalai Lama and hear him speak this afternoon. How many are going? Yeah, quite a few of us. What an opportunity. He said something else about this. He said it is the Western woman that is going to lead us into that balance. In one way, he was saying, we need soul to get there. He was also saying that we Western women have been freed up first, and so we have the time and energy and at our disposal, to some extent, the choice to help move us to where we need to go. Up until 50 years ago, and the pill, that choice was not there. So this is just a very short time when we have become conscious that we are evolving human beings, that we can evolve ourselves in the way we choose, and that we have the ability to do it. Now, you may have wondered why on the cover of your programs I've got a picture of a couple of guys. I think here it is up on the screen. This is Michelangelo's The Return of the Prodigal Son. He returned home to his father. And Michelangelo did some pretty incredible things with many of his paintings. And Henry Nouwen wrote a whole book on this particular painting. If you will look at it, you will see that his left hand on the shoulder of the son is a great big masculine hand. And the right hand is a feminine one. When he interpreted the story of the prodigal son, he knew that it was an allegory. He knew that it was about us returning home to our Father, Mother, God, and so he included the feminine in this painting. You can see it on your program too. So this is not new. Michelangelo knew about it way back when, and he did what he could to bring us to conscious awareness of the fact that in spite of the times and the religion of the day that was about a Father God, there was more, and there's always been more. When we think about how the idea is implanted in the life that then creates and creates something out of the body, the sperm, of course, is the idea, and the rest is up to the mother, and she creates and brings forth life. And whether we're talking about a child or an idea like Janet had of wanting peace and love for her children and her father-in-law. It's the same idea. Whatever we plant into the receptive love of Father, Mother, God will be brought forth if we don't shift in our consciousness. If it's something good and doesn't hurt anyone, it's part of the law of life that is continually evolving and expanding and growing and becoming more and more good. So this is a picture of coming home. And I love Fancy Ray's version, and most of you know the story, the prodigal son. He asked his father for his inheritance and left and frittered it all away and got nothing in return for his investments because they were all short-term investments in feeling good in the moment. And when he became so poor and without resources to the extent that he was stealing the slop for the pigs, which to the Hebrews were unclean to begin with, he realized that as a servant in his father's house, he would be treated much better. So he decided to go home and ask his father to repent, as the Bible says, and go home and ask his father if he can return not as a son, an honored son, but as a servant. It would be a much better life than he had chosen for himself. And so the story goes, his father heard that he was coming home from afar off and ran out to greet him with the robe that showed, that honored this young man as the son of the father. And then the father threw a big party for the son and invited all the neighbors to come and celebrate that his son had returned home. This is the loving Father, Mother, God we all have. The moment we turn back to living a life that is for something and away from frittering it away, the Father is there. The support is there for us. The loving caress of the mother's hand is there for us. Now, my favorite part of that story starts at this point, because you see, there was another son, the older son, that stayed home with Dad and learned to run the family business and to take care of the family land. And when he saw Father giving this wonderful party for this errant brother, he didn't like it. He didn't think it was fair to him. Little story about balance here. So he went to his father, smart guy, and said, you know, you threw that great party for him, and look how he acted. You've never thrown a party for me. And what did his father say? Oh, my son, if you want a party, just ask me. I'll be happy to throw a party for you anytime you want. Just ask me. Just tell me you want a party, and it's yours. That's for us too. That is the Father, Mother, loving, caressing energy that is not formed as people on a cloud or anywhere else, but it is there for us, all around us. In fact, it resides within all of us. Our connection with it is within us, within our minds and within our hearts. So I suggest that it's time to honor soul today, not to take anything away from the masculine principle, but to bring the feminine principle into balance with the masculine. Yes. Yeah. to honor soul and let it expand life in all ways. So I'm going to suggest some homework for you if you choose to accept it. And one thing is to look around you and notice the soul present in life today. It's there. We just haven't been validating it and honoring it. And when one of the first principles we learn in Science of Mind is that which we give our attention to, rest our attention on, increases. So by noticing that there's soul in your life, in the lives of the people around you, in the trees, in nature, wherever you notice it, in music, notice it. Oh yes, soul is in my life, I see it today. It's one of the most important things we can do as evolutionists. Look for it. And then if you want to take it a step further, start receiving it into yourself. Start recognizing the goodness of it. Some of you may have heard of the story about our friend who went to the florist on Mother's Day to wire her mother some flowers. And she did that, and as she was leaving the store, she noticed that the next customer in the store was a young girl who was crying. And she was crying because she wanted one red rose for her mother to give to her mother on Mother's Day, but she only had $1, and the red roses cost $2. So our friend came to the rescue and generously and easily and joyously gave this girl another dollar so she could buy a red rose for her mother. As they were leaving the shop together, our friend asked the young girl if she could give her a ride home, and she accepted the ride and said, "But I don't want to go home. I want to go to the cemetery. That's where my mom is." Well, our friend went back into that shop and she canceled the wire order and bought some fresh flowers and drove the 300 miles to see her mother the next day. She honored her mother. Now there's one more point I want to make, and that is that when we honor soul or anything else in someone else, for someone else, about someone else, we can't not also receive the good ourselves. Because when we honor anything or anyone, what does it do? It opens our hearts. And when we open up, we are able to receive more. More of the good that's already there. We're able to see more of the soul that's already present in our world. This is the way we heal our world. Not by condemning what's wrong with it, by turning to what's good with it and watching that expand, receiving it, expanding in our lives. So notice soul in your life today. I'll close with a quote also from Michelangelo. Our greatest danger is not that we aim too high and miss. You all know this. What is it? It's that we aim too low and miss life. And so it is.